Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 134. Now, we can't dilly-dally about today. We have to get on with it. We've got lots of things to get through, lots of things to do, so I better make this podcast first so I can get on with my day. Now, it's 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning where I am. That may or may not matter to you, but it matters to me, because that means that in 21 hours from now, I have to get up. So it's going to be a day. It's going to have to be a day of nearly. Now, that was an error. I didn't do that intentionally. I broke down the creative flow of the narrative of Into Your Head, temporarily collapsed, and ended in disaster. But I decided not to stop. I decided I'll just carry on and do it as live. Because if this was a live show, you would have heard that. There would have been no way for me to blank it out or remove it during the editing process. So I decided not to. Let's pretend it's live. That's the easiest way of dealing with stuff like this. We'll pretend it's live, so there's nothing we can do about it. You've heard what you heard. If it's a problem for you, you could edit it out during the listening process. There's no law preventing you from choosing what you do and don't listen to. You don't have to listen to everything that I choose to put in the final edit. You can further edit it yourself, as long as you get permission from me, of course, to make a derivative work based on my program. Because, of course, there are copyright laws, and I'm not going to tolerate any old crap from people like you coming along and deciding you don't like what I do and you want to change it to suit yourself. When you go and buy a newspaper, you don't go around cutting out bits of it and pasting them together in different orders and changing the words around, unless you're making one of those death threats that you see in cartoons and audio programs aimed at you. Even though you're probably a taxpayer like everyone else, if you've bought a newspaper, you've obviously paid VAT on that if you're in Ireland, so you are a taxpayer. But still, you're a potential murderer. You're issuing death threats to people anonymously. I suppose there should be. What would be more worrying would be if you're cutting out these letters out of the paper and then using them to form your name and address, so you're still signing your address despite having gone to the trouble of cutting out all these letters so that's not in your handwriting, because that would mean you're mentally deficient as well as being a potential murderer. But we leave all that sort of stuff to the psychiatric detectives, or whatever the hell they're called, and we'll just get on with the show. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking, he said, let's just get on with the show. But we've been doing the show for almost 4 minutes now. So he has got on with it. He hasn't been delaying it or anything. It all started right at the beginning, just after the opening music, exactly as it's supposed to. It's not like there's anything lined up that hasn't started yet. It's not like that was just some sort of introduction or prologue that's going to lead into some big feature. No, this is all you're getting. This is all that happens on Into Your Head. I do this, basically, and when I can't think of anything to say, this is what happens. 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 to say, this is what happens. Now, at this point in the proceedings, I think we need to reboot, so to speak. I don't mean I'm going to restart my computer. That's not necessary. That would be overkill. But I think we need to take a look at what we've done so far and ignore it and start again. So it's Into Your Head, number 134. Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm making a podcast. In fact, I'm in the middle of making one. Usually at this point when you join me, I'd be just right at the beginning of making a podcast. I'd be just recording the introduction. But in fact, no, I've been making one now for several minutes. I've already done a musical number. I've done 6 minutes of the speech. And it's going very well as far as I'm concerned. I have just rebooted it. But that's just a production decision. You don't need to worry about that. It's just to do with the it's just a quality control issue, just to make sure that we keep up the standard and not get ourselves stuck in a rut. So it's all going fine, and I don't know what we need to do next. I've already used up my first 6 minutes of material, you see, so here I am starting the show again, but I can't just repeat the first 6 minutes. So really I should skip the first 6 minutes now and move forward. How we're going to do that, I don't know. I suppose I could just distract myself. Oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen one of these in a while. Although, to be perfectly honest, that's a lie. I saw it earlier. It's been sitting on my desk for the last 3 weeks. How could I not have seen it? Unless I'm blind, which I'm not. I do have poor eyesight, but I'm not blind. I'm perfectly capable of seeing. Although, now that you mention it, the morning sun is beaming in at me. I've had to move myself around to the other end of the table and turn the screen just so I can see it. Stupid freaking sun doesn't know what it's doing today. Well, why would it? It's an inanimate object. It's not supposed to know what it's doing. Unless the ancient Greeks were right and the sun is in fact a god and is a thinking being. In which case, he must be pretty bored floating around in the sky, going around in circles around the earth. And basically just going on autopilot. The sun works on autopilot. Sometimes he heats up a bit, but even that's just an illusion. That's just the clouds getting out of the way and letting the sun shine through at the correct angle. The sun remains constant all the time, although sometimes there's sun storms, but they don't affect us. Those are on the sun. If you're not on the sun, you've no need to worry about sun storms. There's enough weather going on our own planet without wondering about worrying about what's going on the sun, for fuck's sake. And frankly, if there's a storm on the sun, it's not going to happen on a sunny day, it's going to happen on a wintry day when it's all stormy, and then we're not going to get any sun anyway, so the sun won't be an issue in our weather on those days. So basically that's why you never hear about sun storms on the weather forecast. It's because they're irrelevant. On the days when it's stormy here on Earth, the sun is obliterated by clouds. So any storms that are happening on the sun aren't going to even be noticed here, because you don't even see the frigging sun. The sun has the decency to go into hiding for a day or two while it sorts out all its fires. That's an issue with the sun. When there's fires on the sun, there's no forests, so there's nothing for the fire to burn, so it just has to burn up a load of gases, and basically the sun farts. It expels gases, like there's no tomorrow, and then it comes out and shines and everything's fine. You're thinking there. you're thinking, when is there going to be some content? This envelope that he calls a podcast needs to contain something. Otherwise, it's just like one of those blank, self-addressed envelopes that you get in the junk mail with an address written on it and a thing on the corner saying, postage prepaid. We've already paid for this postage. We predicted that you're going to send it. So we went down to the post office and said, when that guy sends that letter back to us in the post, it's on us. You can charge it to us as long as he doesn't interfere with the address and use it to send something else to somewhere else. It's a prepaid envelope. Not only have we paid for the envelope, we paid for the envelope and a reasonable amount of contents to be posted within. Now, if I were to find some way of stretching out that envelope so that it can contain several large parcels, maybe there's some physics expert who can come up with a way of expanding the distance between the atoms in the envelope so that it can envelop a much larger space, then we could cheat the system and use that envelope to send away huge parcels of crap back to the person who paid for it. I tell you, that would set the cat among the pigeons. He could probably send some cats as well. He'd probably put the pigeons in a separate envelope. Otherwise, because the strength of this envelope will no doubt have been weakened by the stretching process. So you can't be having cats running around chasing pigeons inside the envelope. Besides which, if they can do that, that means there's a lot of empty space. So you haven't made use of all the capacity of the newly stretched envelope anyway. So that's wastage. You don't want wastage. There's been enough wastage already when they sent you that junk mail. If you're going to send something back to them, you should use every inch of capacity within it. Otherwise, you're just the same as them. You're just doing what the Romans do, except they send it by carrier pigeon. Now, I'm not unaware of the irony of sending a parcel full of pigeons by carrier pigeon, and especially if it's a parcel full of cats. You'd probably get a carrier, some sort of other carrier for that sort of thing. If you're going to send pigeons or cats by carrier pigeon, you'd probably get some other bird or something. If the carrier pigeon no doubt employs other people other than pigeons as carriers, otherwise that would be discrimination. You can't put an ad in the newspaper saying carriers wanted, only pigeons need apply. No, the job has to be open to everyone. You have to be an equal opportunities employer. So the word carrier pigeon is really just a trademark. The guy comes up your door and says, "Hello, I'm your carrier pigeon for today." Now, I realise I'm not a pigeon, so that's fine. You'll just have to either accept that or not accept it. You could sue us for trade, under the Trade Descriptions Act, or we could go back and just send you pigeons only, and then someone else will sue us under the Discrimination Act, because you can't win. Either you're a pigeon and you get sued, or you're pigeons and anyone who's not a pigeon and you get sued for something else. Yeah, there's no halfway house apparently, so the best way around it really is to have employ people and other animals and all breeds of people, but allow them to wear pigeon costumes. I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking people can't fly, so the cat is going to get let out of the bag when people realise that that person at the door dressed as a pigeon can't fly and therefore can't possibly be a pigeon, unless it's a disabled pigeon, in which case it's not going to be of any use. Well, that's why the aeroplane was invented. So we have flying carrier pigeons. They aren't really pigeons, but they're human beings. But I think you'll find that a human is better placed to pilot an aeroplane than a pigeon is anyway. That's not to say the pigeons are stupid. It's just that I don't know of any pigeons in the world who have yet passed a piloting course with flying colours, so to speak. So a human dressed as a pigeon driving a plane is the best replacement for a carrier pigeon in today's modern non-discrimination world.
us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalk us forum guest book, intoyourhead.com.
The online voicemail system no longer exists.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good cat.
intoyourhead.com.